we can make it clean. I want to begin a new series today titled, Behold, a Savior is Born. And so the next few Sundays during the month of December, we're going to be looking at the whole theme about when Jesus was born, that when he came, he brought with him a message of hope that we could be made clean and that we could find newness of life. So if you have your sermon listening guide, I'd like for you to read with me Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. And I'll also have Jake put it up on the screen. Let's read this together. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." This is a familiar passage. Perhaps many of us have heard and read many times. But it's my hope and my prayer that during the remainder of December, we will capture a newness or a freshness of what the birth of Christ means to each of us. So the title of today's message is A Savior Brings Hope. We're going to talk about how Christ has brought hope to each of us individually. And I hope that as we move through this, the season of December, that you will somehow see in a new way how that hope applies to your life. But a couple definitions. First of all, a Savior. The writer said, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior is a person who rescues you from harm or danger. We all need to be rescued. You may be here today, and there's some area in your life you need to be rescued. And chances are you need to be rescued from yourself. You see, we have a Savior who delivers. We have a Savior who preserves and protects our lives. And he was born for you. So a Savior rescues us from harm or danger. The second definition I want to just lay forth is the word hope. Hope means that we have a confident expectation of and a longing for something you don't have. So I can tell you what you're hoping for this morning. I may not know the details, but here's what it is. You're hoping for something you don't have. Because if you have it, you no longer hope for it. If you are looking for something in life, if you're short on money, you're hoping for money. If your health is not good, you're hoping for good health. If you're looking for a husband or a wife, you're looking for something you don't have. Maybe it's a dream. Somehow a fulfillment of a desire of your heart. You're hoping for it because it hasn't happened. If it's already happened, you don't have to hope for it anymore. We hope for this thing called heaven. We're not there yet. We're trusting in the words of Christ, his death on the cross, that someday, one day, we will have a confident expectation that we will go there after this life is over. It's the power of hope. The Savior who rescues us brings with him a message of hope, a confident expectation about your life. And so today, as we think about a Savior bringing hope, I want to share with you three simple thoughts about this message of hope to us. If you have your sermon listening guide, let's get started. Number one, the first truth about this message is this. It's the best message you'll ever hear. Now, thank you for coming to church this morning. Many people are home sleeping or they're shopping, they're doing other things. But I'll guarantee you this. The message this morning will be the best message you hear the entire week, guaranteed. There's something in it for you. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy." This is a message that's a good deal, a good message, And it's great joy. The word great means mega. It's supersized. It's bigger than the normal. And so the angel said, I'm bringing you a new message, and it's a good one. Let me tell you what that is. If you have put your faith in Christ, and you're here today, and you're trusting in him, you know what that means? He, through Christ, God through Christ, has delivered you into his safety. Which means if you died tonight or you died 10 years from now, you're going to go to a place called heaven. Let me tell you, when you have that hope in you, that confident expectation, I tell you, that's good news. Not only will he help you, is it after this life is over, but during the current life we live, hope can give us something that we are trusting God for, something that we don't have, that he can bring it to pass. There's a story in the book of 2 Kings about an army, the Arameans, and they invaded Samaria, and there was a famine throughout the land. People were dying because of there's no food, and the story involves four lepers. The four lepers are outcasts. They're in Samaria, and here's what they said: if we stay here, there's a great probability we're just going to die because there's no food. If we go to the Aramean army's camp, and, you know, maybe they'll kill us, but maybe they'll have mercy upon us if we surrender, and they'll be good to us. So either way, we don't have a lot of good options. Let's go to the Aramean camp. So these four lepers go towards where the army of Arameans are at. Here's what they found. There wasn't anybody there. The Bible says that the Lord caused the Aramean army to hear chariots and horses as if they were coming, and the Arameans fled. They ran because they thought somebody was coming after them. The Lord caused that. The camp was empty. Now, here's the significance of it. They left all their stuff behind, the booty, silver and gold. In walks four lepers. There's nobody there. They fled. But you know what's there? All the stuff. Gold, silver, food. It's all there. You know what the four lepers did? They started to gather it up. They hid some of it so they could come back and get it. But I want you to understand what happened in verse 9, chapter 7. It says, then they said to each other, the four lepers, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. Four lepers stumble into a camp. The soldiers have fled. It's filled with gold and silver and food. They start to collect it, and then they see this. Wow, we are not doing right. We need to tell other people about the good news. You see, when we are a believer in Christ, we have to have the same perspective. There's a lot of people out there that haven't figured life out yet. And we must be messengers to tell other people, like the lepers were, the good news of what Christ did for them so that they can become a part of it. So we find here, the message that the angel announced of Christ's birth, good news of great joy. It's the best message we'll ever hear. Point number two. The second thing about this message is this. It's for all people everywhere. It's for all people. The angel says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. We prayed a little earlier for Gaza Strip in Israel. Do you realize the message we're talking about today applies to them? It applies to Ukrainians. It applies to Russians. It applies to America. It's for all people everywhere. A message that can be life-changing for each of us. In the book of Acts, we find Peter makes an amazing statement about who God is. And I'd like for you to read that together with me. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Let me just break that down and tell you what it means. It means that at the cross of Christ, there's equal footing for every person. God has no favorites. He doesn't show partiality. And for every person, the key is that fears God, that wants to serve him, that is willing to come to him and commit their life to him. Let me tell you, if that is you, and you open your heart to that, you are the perfect candidate for God to pour forth his goodness into your life. He has no partiality. Didn't it make any difference who you are, where you're from? And as we sang in the song, or heard it sung, there's nothing too dirty that he can't make worthy. Any person who responds to the invitation from God to lean into that grace can experience it. So number one, it's the best message we're ever going to hear. Number two, it's for all people everywhere. And finally, number three, the third thing is this. It's specifically for you. Read with me verse 11 in your notes. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Circle the two words, to you. This is where it gets real personal. A Savior has been born to you who brings with him a message of hope. Reggie Joyner, along with a couple other authors, wrote a book. It's called It's Personal. Five questions you should answer to give every kid hope. And here's what the intent of the book is. If you get to know a child and can answer these five questions, chances are you are a person that can speak life and hope into that child's life. But let me tell you a secret. These same five things apply to adults as well. I want to share them with you. Five things that if you can answer those five questions about that person's life, chances are you can speak hope and life into their life. Number one, do you know my name? You see, the way you get to know people, you got to know their name. There's something about a name that creates identity. And when you call a child by name, that's a doorway into their life. Number two, do I know what I like? Do you know what I like? In other words, does the child like monster trucks? Do they like sports? Do they like music? What is it in their life that they have passion about? Get to know the dreams and aspirations of the child. Number three, do you know where I live? Not just geographically, but do you know about how I was raised? The hurts and the pain I experienced as a child? Or things I'm going through, maybe sickness. Do you know where I live? Who I am as a person? Number four, do you know what I've done? In other words, I've done some great things, but I've also had some failures. Listen, when you learn about a failure of another person, it's an opportunity to speak love and forgiveness and support into that life to help them through that. Do you know what I've done? The good and the bad. And finally, number five, do you know what I can do? Do you know what I'm capable of? Why? Because you can then speak encouragement into that adult or that child to lift them to another level. So those are the five questions in this book. You know what the end result is? On a human level, it says that you become a voice of hope into that person's life. Just because you have a sense of connection and identity with them. Now, I want to apply this to the big picture. And here's the point. God knows the answers to all five of those questions about you. God knows the answers of those five questions about you. I'll have Jake put that slide up. It's about, do you know my name? God knows my name. Do you know what I like? He knows that. Do you know where I live? Absolutely. Do you know what I've done? The good and the bad, he does. Do you know what I can do? He knows your potential. You see, when the angel said an angel that Jesus would be born a savior, he would be born to you, it was personal. And he wanted to bring you hope today, hope in a way that would be life-changing. So three simple things about a savior who brings hope. Best message you'll ever hear. It's for all people everywhere, and it's specifically for you. My last slide is a verse I shared a few weeks back, but I like it. David said this, the Message Bible, I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. You may be here today, and you need a renewed sense of hope. You got to pitch your tent in the right place to find it. And that's in your relationship with God through Christ. And as Natalie Grant said, you know what? There's nothing too dirty that God cannot make clean. There's nothing too dirty that he cannot make worthy. And I'll tell you what, that is where we want to pitch our tent, in this land of hope. We're going to do something a little different just before Jack comes to share in our communion ritual. I'm going to ask Tim Tweedy to come on up. And I wanted Tim to share a little story. Come on up, Tim. I wanted to share a story that kind of talks about this hope factor.
Good morning.
So this is Tim Tweedy, wife Kathy, son TJ. They've been a part of the church family for some time. But Tim's got a great story about hope. And Tim, I want you to just kind of tell us the summary of where you worked for 30 years.
Well, as some of you know, I worked up the Delaware Sports Center since 1993, March of 93. And in December of last year, about a year ago, the owner, John Armstrong, God rest his soul, decided to sell the business and retire. So after 30 years, I'm about to get my life turned upside down because I'm out of a job and I had no idea what I'm going to do next.
So you knew the job was coming to a close, and so what happened then?
Well, I applied for a job up to Friesland Campina. A lot of people know it as Domo up in Fraser's. And they finally, it took a while, it took a couple months, but they finally hired me in March. And started out on first shift with weekends off, then they bumped me to second shift with weekends off. Then they put me on third, and my days off were Mondays and Tuesdays. And I thought it was a great job. It wasn't a hard job, great pay, great benefits, but I wasn't seeing the whole picture. And the whole picture was I couldn't spend time with my family on weekends. We'd see each other 4 hours a day, and that was it. And I didn't think it was going to be a big deal. I didn't hear any complaints about it. But during Fair Week last year, myself, TJ, and Kathy, we were on our shift at everybody's favorite place during the Fair Week, the pancake tent. And I was talking to another guy who was interested in my services, but he couldn't pay me what I wanted, and I probably would have got laid off in the winter. So I was really stuck between a rock and a hard place. I had no idea what I was going to do. The wife was not happy, and you know how it goes. If the wife ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So I decided I had to do something, and I was talking to Pastor Larry about it. He says, well, come here. Let's I'm going to say a little prayer for you, and the power of prayer is something powerful. So he said the prayer, and the following night, during the truck pull, TJ, his girlfriend, myself, and my brother Jay were up on the stage watching truck pulls. The last guy to pull was a community businessman, Jim Frainer, owns Empire Metalworks. And Jay had known him for a long time. And so he introduced us, and he said something about a possibility of a job doing maintenance down to the plant. So he told me to come down in a week or so, and he'd give me a plant tour and tell me all about it. So I did that. About a week later, I went down, did the tour. He was going to give me an office. We got 17 different machines to work on. Four of them were running, the rest weren't. I had my hands full. He says, the job's yours if you want it. That night, I went to Friesland Campina and gave him a 2 weeks notice. Boom, done. And I started working down there in September, and it's just like working at Sports Center all over again. I'm back to getting grease under my fingernails, turning wrenches. I'm home on weekends with my family. I haven't been this happy in over a year, I can tell you that. I mean, to have your life turned upside down like that and then just to flip it right back, it's like the power of prayer, that prayer, that meant everything. That did it.
So you had a good job,
yep,
paid well, but it didn't fit the rhythm of the family.
Correct.
And it's like, what do I do now? So I remember we prayed, there were other people praying, and then God opened up this job, which is like the ideal setup.
It's absolutely perfect. It's like I say, it's the same thing what I've been doing for the last 30 years.
Yeah. So talk to the people as we wrap up here. There may be somebody here or listening online who's maybe in a circumstance where it's not ideal. They're struggling with it. And what advice, what suggestion, what hope would you speak into their life?
Never give up hope. There's something out there that's going to put a change in your life. You may not see it right now. It took me 8 months, but I finally found what I was looking for. It's not going to be instant. It's out there. You just got to find it and say a prayer. I mean, obviously, say a prayer, because I think that must have been the turning moment. To share with somebody, to share with the Lord what was going on, and to have my life, you know, just totally rewrite it again. And it's just amazing as the way it all worked out.
Amen. Let's bow together in prayer, shall we? Father, there may be somebody listening here today to Tim's story that's in a similar situation. And we lift a prayer in their behalf that you will go before them and create the opportunity that would match and meet the needs of the individual life and the family. Thank you for Tim's story. We give you praise and thanks that you turned it around for him as he put his hope in you through Christ. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.